0301 0306.
In Ballymun and Beijing.
Radio WXTC.net.
In Coolock and Cairo.
Radio WXTC.net.
In Artane and Amsterdam.
Radio WXTC.net.
Hi and welcome. It's Brian Green podcasting. 9:15 in the morning. Sure, what else would you be doing? Have a listen to this. 5 weeks later and the builders are still here. It must be that they don't have a next job to go to. Or they just like the environs of the WXTC podcasting house. Because they're still here after 5 weeks. And let me just say, you would need the patience of, who do they say from the Bible, Job or one of those guys, to deal with builders, planning, regulations and all that, because it pulls on the heartstrings, and then on the other side there's something pulling on the purse strings and it can really frustrate you trying to get anything built, you know. So you happen to need to live in a house and you want to get something done to it, but you're a professional this, that and the other, but you're not a professional builder, and you have to guide these guys on the straight and narrow and not let them go off and do what they want to do with your building. The easiest way is not always the client's way. But anyway, more of that later, or hopefully not, because that'll keep the podcast shorter and you won't get too bored with it all. We'll be back after this.
And now for something completely indifferent. I Love Radio, Episode 3.
A good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving.
Okay, guys! I got the PA system and all the speakers and everything.
The PG Show.
All right, little clever bucks, you are.
The world is listening. The world is listening. The world is listening.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Well, if you ever had ambitions to run your own radio and television station, today is today. Today is today. Today is today.
You are a respected man in the community. Nixon O'Toole, I find you not guilty of the charge of fraud.
Oh, gosh, thank you very much, Your Honor. Does that mean I can keep the money?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. Welcome aboard the Ross Revenge.
As the ship hurtled towards the danger zone, I checked out the crew.
Well then, this assignment will test us to our utmost limits.
Yes, Captain.
It's perhaps our most dangerous mission ever, men.
Yes, Captain.
Anyone like to back out?
Yes, Captain.
Radio Caroline, playing all over Dublin. Now.
And there isn't any more. Brian Hyland, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny, yellow polka dot bikini, right here in old gold retort. I can't believe I actually got a text message from somebody saying, Johnny Walker, can you believe it? That's Because They're Young by Duane Eddy was his theme music. Johnny Walker. Oh, what memories, fun memories, I'll tell you. Ah, that's made my day. You're listening to 91.6. It's radio.wxtc.net. I'm Derek Jones. It's old gold retold. And that's what it's all about. Having fun and enjoying all the tunes. And that's exactly what I am doing here. And I hope that wherever you are, you're doing exactly the same thing as well. Because they're all great and they're all golden goody classic gazzaroonies.
WXTC. In a previous incarnation, and my mate Derek Jones on air on 91.6 FM. That was recorded on the 22nd of April in the year 2001. Now, why is that important to remember here in I Love Radio? Because if you took what I've told you before as my introduction to radio as being the only truth, that I went on to community radio on FM in Coolock via another good mate of mine, Billy Fitzsimons, it wouldn't be the only truth, because there's always alternative versions of the truth. And simultaneous to me getting on air on FM, I was also operating in the locality on Citizen Band Radio, which I had been operating for various periods from 82 to 91, 92. Just working out the sunspot cycles. I was definitely on a lot during those years. But in 85, around March, I would have got in contact with a couple of people who are mates of mine to this very day. And they would have been Eamon, the Steamroller, on the CB, and Derek Jones, whose CB handle I can't remember, but let's just skip that bit for the moment. Jamming away on the CB and yapping, we broke down some barriers, and after a while we would have eyeballed these people, had a meet-up and seen these people, and discussed our greater interests in radio other than CB. Only to find out that Derek Jones has one of the most amazing backgrounds in Irish pirate radio, going back to the very early 70s and the all the guys that would predate him that he was involved with, going back to 66 and Galaxy and all those stations. But he was very involved in Radio Dublin in the early 1970s with Prince Terry, who is probably more famous for Westside Radio International on the shortwave, but he was the second owner of Radio Dublin when it was called Radio Ballyoclia way back in, 66 to 71. So Derek Jones, we met on the CB, and while I was being introduced to FM radio through Community Radio in Coolock, at the same time, in a bizarre sort of way, I was being introduced from CB radio to shortwave radio and joined Derek Jones' station Radio Valerie International on 6400 kHz on the shortwave. And on Sunday mornings we did a music request program and an F4C, which is a free radio campaign, Pirate Radio News from Dublin, Ireland, and did the usual shortwave stuff, QSLs and seeking them and sending them, and listener reports were received and read out, and for our shortwave broadcast of about 40 watts, but we covered half of Europe with 40 watts. I don't know how, the bands must have been extremely quiet on the 49 metre band. So that's the alternative take on my introduction to radio 21 years ago. It was also, I could have gone a different route from FM. I could have had a great career in shortwave, only shortwave was on the decline, and all through the 90s it really declined. It might have a resurgence with Digital Radio Mondiale, but DRM has yet to really engage on the shortwave scene, but it's coming, it's on its way. But just an alternative take, I could have gone the international shortwave route, speed things up a lot. And just to prove that WXTC isn't a figment of my imagination, it did start in 1999. It was to be an internet demand radio on demand podcasting service long before broadband was in Dublin, Ireland. The possibility for broadband was there. The actual deliverance by the ISPs wasn't. And ultimately that project was way, way, way ahead of its time. And not the first time that my efforts to have demand radio on demand were ahead of its time, because going back to 96, we set up Radio Éireann, spelt E-R-I-N, Radio Éireann on Seagwith, which was to be a broadcast and relay service on the internet in real audio of Irish local radio stations from around the country. Unfortunately for that project, it was 5 years, 6 years, too early for what it really needed. It needed two things that podcasting has: broadband and RSS delivery. It's terrible to be ahead of your time twice in a generation, luckily, third time round, we're not here too early and hopefully not too late. Join the party. Podcasting is here to stay. WXTC.net and I Love Radio.
Sveriges Radio, utlandsprogrammet. Radio Sweden International.
An anorak's take on Ireland v Sweden, if ever there was one. Hello and you're welcome back, WXTC.net, Brian Green Podcasting, and yeah, let's go back to that traditional part of my podcast where I say, where the hell have I been for the last 2 months? Like, you know, a bit of regularity. I might promise from time to time that I'm going to do this more often and then I never do. In fact, if I make that promise, it's probably going to mean that it'll be longer before my next one. Because of, once again, being too darn busy, but boy, was January a busy month. Busy on many fronts work-wise, but also busy. I was on holidays for about a week, which was great. Went to Spain, more about that in a moment. A couple of items ranting and getting things off my chest here, but I've just come up from watching the TV and I swear to God, the TV drove me to the microphone because I'm just so... I don't know if I'm annoyed or just agitated by a programme I was watching called Crime Call on RTE, and it's just pretty much everything in it was just going over my head as to its importance and why it was receiving airtime. There was a reconstruction of a raid on a shop and the reconstruction cost must have been more than what was taken in the raid. And there was no aggravated aspect to this burglary. There was no, you know, it was a victimless crime, except, you know, there was money and livelihood affected in it. And various other things. And I was screaming at the telly and I just said, no, I'm not going to sit and watch this. I'm getting out of here. I'm coming up and I'm putting on the microphone. For the first time in over 2 months, it was Christmas Eve last I spoke to you, in this medium, and it's now Shrove Tuesday, for the next hour and 4 minutes anyway. That's Pancake Tuesday, aka Pancake Tuesday, and traditionally the eve of the start of Lent, which means that the Trokra boxes arrive home from school. And if they've done their homework right, and you have a couple of kids in the primary school, you'll only get the one box between all of them. So in comes the Trokra box. Explain Trokra box to foreign audience. Is a cardboard fold-up box that is sent home from the schools via Trokra, or from Trokra via the schools during Lent, and you put your tuppences and halfpennies and pennies and 5p's and whatever it is, probably euro coins and 2 euro coins nowadays, into the Trokra box, and you know, as part of your penance, or as alongside penance, abstinence, whatever you give up for Lent, you would put a few bob in this box, and it goes off to help charity worldwide. Trokra work in various regions around the world, mainly in Catholic countries in the third world, like the Philippines, and there's lots of work targeted there after a recent landslide. And boy, are the Philippines having their news agenda filled up with a state of emergency, because the old premier is not too popular, and they're having a state of emergency. So there's a segue from Trokra to state of emergency in the Philippines. WXTC.net, Brian Green Podcasting. And what I wanted to get on to say was, when I build up a load of things on my chest over 2 months, the list gets longer, and I just want to just go with these issues. Sky TV, don't we just love them? Actually, it was this morning sometime that they updated their EPG, which made all the radio stations all the radio stations got 4-digit numbers as opposed to 3-digit numbers, which, you know, makes for expansion. There's been a reorganization of all the numbers so that things are brought closer together and less spaced out as they used to be. But on my old Grundig Digibox, which is a Sky proprietary box for watching and listening to radio and watching television on, it hasn't had the updates in years, and it's now not capable of direct access numbering to the radio stations. So I have to go and press about 60 pluses on the up button to get from channel 101 to channel 3000 and 160. So that's kind of annoying, so I'm looking around for a fix for that. If anybody's in the same boat, give us a bell, let us know how you're going to overcome such a problem with an out-of-contract Sky Digibox from yesteryear. Of course, I can listen to various radio stations without tuning into Sky, such as with free-to-air boxes. So if you don't know by now, I'm a bit of a satellite junkie and a bit of a radio junkie too. Yes, we had earlier I Love Radio Part 3, and I hope you enjoyed that. So, staying with Sky and satellite and radio, we move on to television. And this is an issue that really annoys me, and that's RTE. On Sky. They are carried by Sky, and unfortunately you must be a subscriber to Sky to see RTE via their service. And this flies in the face of the funding of RTE, because the funding of RTE comes from two sources. One is license fee, and the other source is advertising. So if it's advertising and they are limiting access to their digital widescreen platform by being on Sky, analogue viewers in the Irish Republic who are not subscribers of Sky don't get to see their advertising on digital widescreen. But, and it's a big but, they're funded by licence fee, and it's 150 or 152 euros per annum, and I support the licence fee. And I've always, since I owned a television, had a license. Well, rephrase that. Since I've owned my own property, or even going back to when I rented property, I was the only gobshite in 17 flats in one Georgian house who had a license. Fact. And I was the only person who paid for the cable as well, until I got sense as well. And stop paying for cable TV. But anyway, support the license fee. A great way of funding public service broadcasting, state-owned, but not necessarily controlled, broadcasting. And off they go to Sky, and as I am not a Sky subscriber, which I'm entitled not to be, access to digital platform from my state broadcaster is being denied to me. Now, that has to be put in context, because we should be able to see our digital stations, and if we can't, we have to watch it on analogue, and if you're not on cable, you're watching that terrestrially via analogue. And I'm in the Dublin area, and I've got direct line of sight with Capure and Three Rock. No, definitely Three Rock. I don't think I can see Capure. Maybe on a good day or something. But my analogue VHF and UHF reception is quite scratchy with an outdoor aerial. 4-element, very small, but it's outdoor. I would like to see it crystal clear in digital format, but it's not been made available to me. Stay with me on this one for a second, because we have a government and a Minister for Communications in Noel Dempsey, who is pushing and trying to get the Ryder Cup Golf, which is coming to Ireland this summer, to be one of the prescribed sports that can be free to air and shown on terrestrial television here in the Irish Republic, be that TG Car or RTE or TV3. And they've also successfully prescribed and took away contracted football, Irish soccer, from Sky. So when Ireland play an international match that is of a competitive nature, as opposed to tomorrow night's international with Sweden that's friendly and only on Sky, that RTE or TV3 can carry the game. I think they're missing the big picture. We should make the digital platform carry the national station for everyone to watch without having to pay Rupert Murdoch and British Sky Broadcasting for the service. End of rant. Well, not quite the end of rant. That story will go on, and you'll hear about it again, no doubt. Just one second. Been a while since we caught the cat on the podcast, but he's negotiating the new tiled roof at the moment. It's a bit more slippy than the old tiled roof, because it's all flat and shiny slate, as opposed to the old thing. I don't know what kind of slate they call that. Too long out of the building game myself. Okay, so that's the rant on Sky, and if you're in the same boat, if you feel the same way as me, get in touch because you want to do something about it. I've no time to do anything about it, but let's all rant together and let the authorities know that we ain't happy. I was on holidays. I told you I'll tell you a bit more about that. We went off to Spain, and as I like to do here in the podcast, is tell you about my holidays when I get back from them, and not while I'm away, when security at the podcasting house is at its weakest. So we're back from Spain, where we had a lovely week over with Wally and Itziar. Many thanks to them for their hospitality. All five of us jetted off on Ryanair. Yeah, I know, Ryanair. And they got us there and got us back. And it was a great week. Highlight would have been Bilbao and the Guggenheim. What a wonderful, wonderful place to be. The building is what you go to visit, really. The exhibits inside are wonderful, but just going around it, what an amazing building. And San Sebastian was good too. We were in a small town on the French-Spain border called Irun, and that was lovely also. So a good week was had over there. It was a couple of weeks back and it was cold in Spain the week before we arrived, but it perked up a bit and we had temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees and sunshine. So that was nice. And a good break was had. Next, we travel back to Dublin, and this weekend. So if you've been living under a rock, you haven't heard that this weekend in Dublin, this weekend gone, there was a Love Ulster parade and march to be had down O'Connell Street by some marchers that came down from Northern Ireland, fully permitted. And raring to go, the guards installed themselves with about 300-350 Gardaí to police an event with about 100-150 marchers and an expected 75 protesters having a counter demo on O'Connell Street. What happened in the interim was that the small 75 person protest seems to have grown into hundreds of people rioting in Dublin's capital on a Saturday afternoon between 12 and 4. And the estimated damage is about 10 million euro. How do they know that? But that's more to do with loss of trade to the businesses in the area. The other costs are obviously the reputation of Dublin City as a place to be and to feel safe in. And it's not always a safe place to be in if you go down the wrong place at the wrong time, but in general terms, riots are few and far between. Cat wants access, hang on a second. It's going to be one of those shows where it just keeps interrupting. But anyway, he's sorted for now. So Dublin is not a regular rioting spot, and probably that's why the story has gathered momentum and got legs, because it is very unusual to see rioters on the streets of Dublin rioting. My take in the blog when I wrote about this on Saturday evening, the early hours of Sunday morning, having come back from working in and near the city centre that night, was that this had to be a situation where Garda intelligence failed. They failed to resource the security of the march properly and underestimated the attendance at the counter demo. Now, there is evidence to suggest that hangers-on gathered and momentum through the use of mobile phone, where people called in their mates and said, get down to O'Connell Street because we're having a smashing time breaking up building materials and throwing them at the cops, which I don't condone in any way. And yeah, I do understand the difference between condone and condemn, unlike our Taoiseach, bear to your heart. Right, so the decision to run a Love Ulster parade down through O'Connell Street, which is, for the length of it, 50% a building site at the moment down the centre median, because they're constantly upgrading and diminishing the vehicular access to that street and making it more pedestrianised. It had to be a wrong decision to allow it to take that route. Now, reports have been called for and inquiries are to be had or will be denied by the said authorities. The Minister for Justice is getting certain information in from his Garda force, and they say that the Gardaí discussed with Dublin City Council on 5 occasions in the run-up to this march the situation with regard to the building site and that it would be secured properly. It wasn't secured properly and all hell broke loose, and the Gardaí were very, very quickly stretched, and, you know, being stretched meant that this thing that could have been quelled was, you know, turned into an onslaught that lasted and moved around for about 2 to 4 hours with mayhem and, you know, disaster all across the city. Ugly scenes, cars being burnt out, looting, people getting beaten up, and what shouldn't have happened happened, and the people who had the power to police that and put policy in place, I think, have some answers, some questions to answer in that regard. And I've written about it and I've vocalised it now, and everybody who's anybody in the blogosphere and the podosphere is talking about it and giving their tuppence worth and a welcome it. It is interesting to see that some of the better footage and up close and personal footage that's come from the riots that were from bloggers and camera phone users, and you can see quite a lot of that material out on the internet within minutes, hours of the rioting that Saturday afternoon. Unfortunately for the larger news gathering organisations, getting large cameras and journalists in place proved to be very difficult, because the journalists became a target of the onslaught of the rioters, which is sad and unfortunate. And the personal camera phone user was able to snap happy without much regard for, you know, what was going on in front of them. Without, and when I say that, I mean that they didn't have to run the gauntlet of abuse. But in some circumstances, there is evidence that some people were warned off from taking photographs of incidents of looting and rioting. On the side of the rioters, there seemed to have been, you know, some premeditation, and some missiles that were thrown did not originate from the street, and this would lend itself to the thought that there was premeditated. Petrol bombs just don't turn up, and this is true. So, with that said, I'll leave that issue there. Okay, just conscious on time, I don't want this to turn into another marathon. WXTC.net with Brian Green podcasting here on the internet. And we move on to another topic, and it'll be our second last, and we'll do this one briefly, but I decided to embrace this podcasting thing about 12 months ago. It was March 2005, and the story goes, I've mentioned it in previous podcasts, but Radio Sweden's DXR's program's mailing list alerted me to the new thing that was podcasting, and I suppose this is show number 12 in 12 months, which is about averaging one a month. Okay, it's been 2 months since my last one, but you know what I mean. You know where I'm coming from. Next show is the unlucky one. It's the 13th. It's also the one that can officially be the anniversary program of 1 year podcasting. So if you want to drop us a message for that, email radio@wxtc.net, or leave a voicemail message, which, if suitable, will be placed inside the program, and you can ring that in on the following number: 076-670-0551. I said I would write this down, and I didn't. So it's 076-670-0551. WXTC.net, podcasting on the internet. And we got the iPod on December 23rd. Okay, so I was embracing it for near on 10 months, and had successfully stayed away from an Apple iPod, but I bent to the pressure, and coming up to Christmas, I decided to de-invest in some analog equipment and flog it and reinvest in digital equipment. And I went for the video iPod 60GB, and thought I'd go in at the top of the market because it'll last me the longest going in at that end. And it probably will last about 3 months, and then something will replace it and it'll be old hat by then. Anyhow, it's a wonderful product that I didn't warm to in the first fortnight of owning it, but since then I have really taken it to be my premier podcatcher. So I stopped using the 1 GB memory stick with podcatcher and a stick program, which I'm fond of and was loyal to, and redistributing that, I gave that player off to my brother Kevin. So I hope you're listening to this show, Kev, with that player. And I stopped podcatching on my W800i Ericsson phone because it's just too damn tedious to do it that way, and it was only 0.5 GB of memory. So 60 GB, you can stick a lot of songs and a lot of video and a lot of podcasts on such a large player. But it's not podcasts or music that I will refer to in this analysis of owning my video iPod. And it's a cultural experiment that I started 8 weeks ago, which finished yesterday evening. I decided to watch an entire series of a television program only on the iPod. And the program I decided to do this experiment with turned out to be wonderful, wonderful piece of drama to use as an experiment. And the program was from the BBC and it was called Life on Mars. So I don't know if any of you have caught that one. Premise of the story, very briefly, is policeman has accident, goes into coma, but in his coma he's living in 1973 for a season or a series of 8 episodes, and absolutely wonderful, wonderful drama. But the experiment to not watch this on big screen TV and only enjoy it in matchbox size video iPod was a worthy experiment. It has its upsides, it has its downsides. You generally get to see every episode because it's all part of personal video recording, and you know, you schedule it, it happens, it is recorded, you will watch it, which is a lot more accessible in this digital age than getting out the old VCR and trying to record that and then have to be rooted in the TV room with the big TV and that downtime that is required to watch a 1 hour drama. And people outside of the British Isles, yeah, I know, I in a geographic sense of the term, it's very valid and correct. The British Isles television drama is 1 hour long. So it's not punctuated with any advertising if it's coming from sources like the BBC. So it's almost watching, you know, the guts of a film per episode. To have an attention span or a commute time that can watch into television that is 1 hour long is kind of difficult. So mobisodes would be punctuated a lot more defined times, and maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. To watch an hour drama in one commute is heavy going. Also, because it's visual, it cuts out the kind of commute where you are driving, because you can't watch the TV and drive at the same time. Very dangerous. So it's more that public transport kind of commute. And over the 8 weeks, opportunities arose to watch this program in that environment and try and stay with it. And, you know, so it is punctuated with pauses in, you know, playback, and you come back to the program 10, 15 minutes later. It was possible. It was enjoyable. I think that video to your personal video player that is delivered over RSS and video podcasting is certainly going to be a near reality and will have massive implications for commercial television, as audio podcasting and blogging is having for commercial and independent radio. Watch this space. WXTC.net, Brian Green, podcasting and nattering away here. Because these bits and bytes don't cost that much if you're on broadband. Finally, I'll leave you with a thought for some stuff that's coming up in the near future. Like it's a religion, I'll say I hope to podcast more often, and we'll be back to you sooner, which probably means it'll be June or July when you hear me next. Hopefully not. We will be podcasting other podcasts other than this particular one in the near future. The Irish Emigrant continues every Monday. You can hear me on that at www.emigrant.ie, and you can subscribe to that podcast there. We will also be doing a series of interviews with various political parties here in the Dublin area, and we'll be focusing on the young guns politicians from various parties. And what I hope to have lined up is people from Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, the Greens, Fianna Fáil, the Socialist Party, Labour, and as of now, I have no idea who I'm going to interview from the Progressive Democrats. But it's the younger people who've entered politics from those particular parties. We'll be getting their outlook on some things and having a natter here in the podcasting environment. And that's coming up over the next 8 to 10 weeks. WXTC.net will also be broadening out our offering of podcasting from this WXTC stable in the form of Podcasting News Ireland, which is one of Google.com's top rated podcasting news services. Why? I don't know. Probably good search engine optimization, but we will be experimenting with that particular blog that we've been running for near on a year alongside the podcasting that I was telling you about a moment ago. So those are things to look forward to, and they are not in the too distant future. They shall be happening this side of Paddy's Day as we await the countdown to see if my prediction for the number of podcasts to equal number of radio stations worldwide to, you know, equate at around 36,000 podcasts v radio stations worldwide. I wonder if that's going to happen. I have a quick check on one source of the number of podcasts now being aggregated and streamed. And, I think I'm going to miss my prediction by a week or two. It's currently 32,537 podcasts being tracked by Podnova, which is one of the larger numbers. But I'd say iTunes would claim an equally high number as well. So, what have we got? 2.5 weeks to the 17th? Would it rise 3,500 in 2.5 weeks? You know what? It's going to be close, but I'll miss it by about a week or two. When there is as many podcasts as there are radio stations in the world, that equals an awful lot of choice to the listener. I'll leave you with that thought and bid you a goodbye rather than a good morning or good night, because I don't know what time it is where you're listening. When you're listening, time shifted in digital environment out there. Thanks for listening to my endless waffle here, and I'll be talking to you again shortly. Bye-bye.